And I was, sometimes you don't think to ask the question until it comes up as a question or possible misunderstandings about things. But I want to ask the question to begin with, and then we'll give kind of a defending the faith type of a study on the topic. And the question, let me ask you first, and especially if you came from a background that was different than you didn't grow up in the church or you studied some of religion otherwise, but we all know that Jesus Christ existed and that he exists today. Now, from other religions and conceptions or misconceptions, who do people believe that Jesus is? Okay, what are concepts people have of who Jesus is? And I probably would rather not even mention a specific religion that mentions it, but just mention the concept, because I'm not here to bash anybody or whatever. But what are some of the conceptions or misconceptions about who Jesus was or is? And we're not going to cover everything about him, but I'm going to narrow down on something. Yes? Okay, there are those who believe that Jesus was a very wise teacher, but not divine. It would be like Muhammad or some others who were simply great men who walked the earth and said some very nice things and were very wise, even inspired, but just a man, basically. Yes, Brent? Part of a triune Godhead, part of a Trinity. God, but there's three, God, the Spirit, and Jesus, and they're all one and separate, but one, and all that. We're not going to get into, we got a whole booklet on the Trinity. We're not going to get into all of that. Okay, so what other concepts are there that you're aware of? Yes, Tina? A prophet, indeed. And he was a prophet, the Bible says so, but it wasn't just a prophet. He was quite special. Yes? The Son of Man, which he was. I mean, he came from woman, and from he's also called the Son of God. Yes? Right, some believe he was a created being, created by God, and was basically like the angels. There is one group I'm thinking of in particular, and they look at Jesus as kind of a super angel, if you will, and that he was created by God, he was a super angel, and he did these things and so forth, but that was his status. And of course, there are those that think God's a fable, but yes. One of the apostles, okay, and he had a man who said some good things, okay, anything else? So they're very, yes. His royalty, okay, which he was too, he is the king, okay. So many different concepts. I want to just narrow in on one part of that. Now, we've got a rather extensive book called The Trinity, and it answers a lot of things about the nature of God and goes into a lot of different aspects. But in relation to this one question on how you would answer this question when people might bring it up, is the question, is Jesus God? Is Jesus God? Okay, and then if that question were asked, how would it be answered in the Scripture fairly plainly? Let's turn to John chapter 1 and verse 1. And again, while it seems though it may be a rudimentary question for many or most, it is the topic of some confusion at times. So John chapter 1 and verse 1, this gives the most easy and basic of answers. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, whoever this being is that is the Word, now, again, we can get into another series of discussions. I'm not going to go off on various tangents or whatever, but some feel this Logos was just that which came out of God's mouth is the Word, but this was a being, and it further defines it as we go on, but this was a being, and this being was with God. His being was called the Word, and it says, and the Word was God. So you've got God, who we would recognize now as God the Father, and you've got the Word, God. And it says, the same was in the beginning with God. So from beginning, we'll talk about beginning in a little bit. In verse 3, it says, and all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. And so God and the Word worked together to create. And God did not do it apart from this being called the Word, who is God. In verse 4, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. And then it goes on speaking about who this Word was one that became Jesus Christ, born of a woman, impregnated by God with the Spirit. When you go to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, we won't turn there because my guess is that the most rudimentary of us know. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And when it says this Word, the one that would become Jesus Christ, created things, that God created the heaven and earth, you would say, okay, God created it, and nothing was created without the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Now, a very simple way to understand this concept of God and the Word would be, and it's been explained this way rather simply, that my dad was Scriber. He was Leonard Scriber. And then I was, and when I was with him, I was also Scriber. He was Scriber and I was Scriber. I was Randy Scriber, he was Leonard Scriber. We were both Scriber. Okay, we were were separate people, but both Scriber. God and the Word were separate, but they were both God. Okay, not a triune God. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 3. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 3. It says, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abides a priest continually. And speaking of Melchizedek, who was the Word who came down and spent time on earth at that time as Melchizedek, the high priest, it describes him as he didn't have a father and mother to come into being. He came into being with God. And the two of them had always been. How did that work? Please do not ask me to explain it. I have no clue. I am physical. I am mortal. I have my limitations due to time and space. But we know he existed. It was interesting. A coworker of my daughter, I was talking with her when we were in Denver a few weeks ago. And the husband of my daughter's coworker said, you know, I used to be an atheist. And I'm a mechanical engineer. And he said, I was an atheist. And then one time I went out and I looked under the heavens and I looked up at the stars and I got to thinking, you idiot. You know, as a mechanical engineer, you know that things don't just come together like that. or especially like that. And so he is a Christian to the degree of understanding that he has. But anyway, how they got there, I don't know, but they are. They have always been their God. And then I'll just quote, but Colossians 1, verse 7, speaking of Jesus, it says, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So he wasn't a created being. Now, he was before all things, and he was in the beginning with God, and Word was God, and Word was with God, and by him all things exist. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Now, some might say, well, he might have been God then, but when he was Jesus and born in the flesh, well, then maybe he wasn't God, but let's go to the future. I don't know how you would come to that conclusion either, but Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, in speaking of the birth of Jesus, the prophecy, it says in Isaiah 9 verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called. So what are some of the names that we call Jesus? His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's not the Father, as God is the Father, but he's your Father in the sense that even Paul said that he was Father to the people the way that he taught them. But he's our predecessor, but he is called the Mighty God. And so is Jesus God? That's what it says right here. John chapter 5 and verse 17, the people around him had a hard time explaining or understanding this concept. But when Jesus spoke in John chapter 5, verse 17, John 5, 17, but Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. They were working together as the Father and the Word, and now as the Father and the Son, they're going to continue working. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, not only because he broke the Sabbath from their perspective. He didn't break the Sabbath. It says he also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. If you're equal with God, you are God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he and God are equal, co-equal together. The Jesus submits to the will of the Father. But it's as my wife and I are equal. And at least the scripture says the wife submits to the husband. How often that happens and how well that happens. Sometimes two different things. John chapter 8 verse 57. John chapter 8, verse 57, Jesus was revealing himself, explaining to people who he is. John 8, 57, the Jews said to him, you're not 50 years old, but you've seen Abraham. And Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And that I am is that capital. When God came to Moses and spoke to Moses in the bush, he said, what is your name? Who do I tell them you are? He says, I am that I am. Who was Israel dealing with? They were dealing with God. Who was the one of the God family there that they were dealing with? They were dealing with the I am. And he says, I am the I am. I am God that dealt with Israel. John chapter 10, verse 30. He explains further in John 10, 30. He says, I and my Father are one. We talk about being one. My wife and I are one. God says we are. When you're married, you come together, giving yourself in that unit. You are one, even though we're two. We are two distinct people, but we are one. Well, that's what Jesus said. God and I are one, and we make God, even though there are two of us, as my wife and I make a one marriage unit, even though there are two of us. God uses that analogy. So they took up stones to stone him, and Jesus answered, "Many good works I've shown you from my Father. For which whose works do you stone me?" In verse 33 of John 10, and the Jews said, "For a good work we don't stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." And he was explaining that he was God. They got upset because he was saying that. In verse 34, Jesus answered and said, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said you are gods'? For if he called them gods to whom the word of God came and the scripture can't be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, 'You're blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God'? If I don't do the works of my Father, don't believe me." Verse 38, "But if I do, though you don't believe me, believe the works that you may know and believe the Father is in me and I in him." We are God. John chapter 20, just proceeding through this book, gives very simple answers. The disciples recognized this. They had a difficult time believing certain things, but when it was all said and done here, they understood this. John chapter 20 and verse 27, he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger in here and look at my hands, and reach in your hand here and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving but believing." And what was Thomas's answer? And Thomas said to him, "My Lord, my God." Thomas called him God. Jesus did not correct him because Thomas was right. Jesus is God. Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you've seen me and you've believed, blessed are those who have not seen yet have believed." Verse 31, "But these are written that you may believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and believing you may have life in his name." Go to Hebrews now. And I told you this would be fairly short, and we're wrapping it up here pretty quickly. But Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 5. Again, we have quotes here in Hebrews from the Old Testament, and now it is repeated here in the New Testament to be sure there's not a misunderstanding. Hebrews 1, verse 5, "For to which of the angels did he ever say, 'You are my son, today have I begotten you'? And again, 'I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son.'" In verse 6, "And when again he brings the firstborn into the world, he said, 'Let all the angels of God worship him.'" Now, an angel is not to be worshipped. Only God is to be worshipped. Man is not to be worshipped. Only God is to be worshipped. And it says, "Let all the angels of God worship him." And the angels, of the angels, he says, "Who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire?" Now notice verse 8. He says, "But to the Son he," God says. So this is what God says of his Son, Jesus. He says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever." This is quoting what God is saying to Jesus. Jesus is calling his Son God because Jesus is God, as those two beings. "A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of your kingdom." Now, this is a quote from Psalm chapter 45, verses 6 and 7. So he's pulling out that section of the Psalms, and he's saying this is what was meant by it, that God is saying this of Jesus. And verse 9, it says, "You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, Your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Now he says, therefore, God, your God, has anointed you. And so there's God, and there's a God that anointed him. They were both God. He called them both God. So it kind of wraps it up in a pretty neat package. Of course, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was God from the beginning, with God, the one that we know now as God the Father. And he was God in human form at his birth. He was not God in spirit form. Another topic altogether, but he wasn't somewhere else as an eternal God as while he was on earth. He was physical, human, but he was God in the flesh. We'll turn to one final scripture in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. Titus 2 and verse 11. And it puts this in one sentence, so you'll understand that when it's talking about Jesus Christ, you'll understand it's talking about God, because Jesus Christ is God. Titus 2:11 says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." Now to verse 13, it says, "Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearance of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." He's looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ at the last trumpet. And he called him our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, because he is both, as God is God the Father. Verse 14, "Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works." Are there any other comments? That's essentially, I had just enough scriptures to show what the Bible says regarding who Jesus is. But were there any further comments or questions on this specific discussion? Okay. Well, now you know. So when somebody asks you the question, it's right there. Okay. Well, we'll break now, and enough time. I guess we got